Well, hello everyone, and welcome to another video where I'll be looking at Restore Britain. And today I'm going to be focusing in on the COPE criticisms that have come from Reform UK loyalists, Farageists, and other such bottom-dwelling creatures. There, I've identified five different critical points, and I'm going to formulate ready-made counters that you can take out there into the information superhighway in your various battles with Reform minions. So the five criticisms are: you're splitting the right, it's extremely online, and it's attracting fringe elements. No one knows who Rupert Lowe is. It's an ego-driven vanity project, and they, as in Restore or any government, needs, quote-unquote, experienced politicians. I'm going to deal with each of those in turn. We're going to give detailed answers. I'm going to break it all down in this video. But before we get going, I sell courses here at the academic agency. The Trivium is the bestseller. Once upon a time, every 12-year-old in this country, and in fact all around the world, did the Trivium. They're expected to do it by the age of 12. This went on for hundreds of years. William Shakespeare, he did the Trivium. In the Victorian era, they did the Trivium. In fact, I think it went all the way down until about the 1940s, 1950s. And then in their infinite wisdom, the government decided that the national curriculum would no longer carry the Trivium. I reconstructed it. I made the best version of this course you're ever going to find, especially the rhetoric course, which I put my heart and soul into. The writing course is top notch. Buy it now. I'm going to play the ad. When I come back, we're going to break down all of these points, Reform versus Restore, and all of these COPE nonsense talking points. We're going to take them apart. First of all, though, let's watch this ad and then we'll get going.
Academic Agency.
Something like 4,000 people have done the Trivium now. Isn't that incredible? You can be the 4,001st person to do it. All right, so let's get going then with you're splitting the right. You're splitting the right. Okay, and I've put them all up on this PowerPoint so that you can copy them, basically. First thing I'll note is the right is completely united behind Rupert Lowe, and it has never been more united, possibly ever. Let me quantify that a second, okay? Let me just explain what I mean. 10 years I've been doing this channel now, and in that time, okay, I had times where I've been more libertarian than I am now. Now I'm a sensible centre-leftist, as you all know, okay? But in my time, I have never seen all of the various different factions and subgroups and, niche personalities across the entire spectrum have fallen in behind Rupert Lowe. Whatever you think of him, I don't necessarily agree with a lot of the stuff he says. Tommy Robinson has fallen in behind Rupert Lowe. Carl has fallen in behind Rupert Lowe. Steve Laws, another high-profile figure, fallen in behind Rupert Lowe. Morgoth, a good buddy of mine, fallen in behind Rupert Lowe. Millennial Woes, fallen in behind Rupert Lowe. The Woodlander, Paz, right? These are all people who on any given day of the week don't agree on anything, right? They are constantly have disagreed for the past decade, myself included, okay? When have you ever seen all of us agree on the same thing, ever? I have never seen it in my lifetime. And yet, Rupert has managed to literally, you could look at it in two different ways, really. You could either say it's impressive how politically inept Nigel Farage is to alienate basically the entire right side of the political spectrum against him, okay? Or you could say, well, also it's a testament to the gravitas and grit and character and authenticity of Rupert Lowe, because when the real deal comes along, people recognize it. So the idea that it's splitting the right is nonsense, because who have Reform got? Reform have only got paid shills, distrusted, sniveling, slop merchant journalists, okay? Dappy, silly women like Alex Phillips. These aren't serious people. They're not people who have, you know, significant followings that they've built up over years and decades, like all of the other people I just mentioned. I mean, I don't know anybody that I can think of who hasn't, you know, even David Cleaves. I mean, you can't get two more diametrically opposed people than David Cleaves and Tommy Robinson, and yet they both recognize Farage is not the shot. Rupert is the shot. And as things stand right now, the entire right, as it's known, is united behind Rupert. Second, it was Reform UK's decision to leave the right and start acting basically like a party to the left of Labour, to the left of Labour. Don't forget, while Morgan McSweeney was there, Keir Starmer was doing the whole Islands of Strangers stuff. Keir Starmer has actually been prepared to, in many ways, you could say Starmer has been to the right of where Farage has positioned himself. It's Reform UK's own goal, and now they can pay for it. They didn't have to play it this way. They decided to do that. They decided to become the party of soft liberal Democrat feminism bullshit. Okay, that wasn't any of our doing. You could say it wasn't that, you know, the right left Reform. Reform left the right. Reform decided, oh, we're going to be, you know, to the left of fucking Jeremy Hunt. Stupid. Brings me to point two. It's extremely online. It's attracting fringe elements. Well, there's a number of things to get to. First of all, okay? First of all, it's 2026 now, okay? Everybody, your mum, your gran, your little cousin Scampi, they're all online all of the time, okay? Reform is out of touch. They're trapped in a 1970s Butlins camp, time warp, where grannies play bingo and watch Strictly Come Dancing. Okay, it's 2026, Nigel. It's like he's appealing to Bruce Forsyth Britain or some bullshit, okay? Some modicum of that exists, and people do what, I mean, 10 million people watch, you know, I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. But guess what? All of those 10 million people who watch I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here also go on Facebook, also go on Twitter X, also go on TikTok, and God knows what else. Watch YouTube videos. Okay, it's not like those 10 million people, it's not like they only watch TV, they're only watching Strictly and I'm a Celebrity. They also engage with social media, or they all know somebody who's engaged with it all. Okay, think of a little Bobby Broccoli haircut. Okay, he's got his iPhone and he's like, yeah, Graham, have you heard of this Rupert Lowe chap? Have a watch of this video. The video I did yesterday had dozens upon dozens of comments of people saying, I haven't voted in 50 years. Now I've seen the man to vote for. I've never voted in my entire adult life, and now I'm going to vote. Or I showed this video to my 80-year-old gran, and she started crying. Could have been you, Nigel. You chose the route of, I hate my base. I hate all the people who would support me. I hate my own side. I'm going to start acting like a bloody, you know, ersatz Tony Blair. That's basically how he's behaved. What was that Joker meme? You get what you effing deserve, and you do deserve it. Second point, you know, right, the fringe element. Any national party has millions upon millions of people voting for it, okay? No other party is expected to answer for random members of the public who support them, okay? Imagine a journalist went to Zach Polanski and said, what did commie enemy lover 9852, they tweeted this about you. Oh, what have you got to say about this random person from the internet who supports you? Or look at all the shit that Labour voters say all the time. Labour voters are vile on the internet. They're always wishing death upon Donald Trump and various other people, right? I remember their behaviour is often disgusting online, left-wingers. Keir Starmer is never expected to answer for the behaviour of his own supporters, because rightly, all of those parties will say, well, look, we're the part, we can only answer for what we say. We can't answer for what random members of the public who, okay, they may support us, but that's not our responsibility. You know, we can't own all of the stuff that people say. And as I just went through, all of those people I listed at the start don't agree with each other. And yet they've all, I mean, this is the nature of politics. You're going to have people behind you who don't, you know, that they don't agree with everything that you stand for, everything that you say, but you're the closest thing, you know, to what, to representing their interests, I guess. Okay. This is all politics in a so-called liberal democracy is about. So the notion that someone like Charlie Downs should have to answer for tweets from some, you know, random anon with a you know, AI lion in their flag or some shit is nonsense. And what next time they're asked, okay, I hope that either Rupert or Charlie or whoever else says, like, look, you don't do this with anyone else. Why aren't you asking Zach Polanski? What they should do is find disgusting tweets from Tory voters, from Reform voters, from Labour voters, and from Green voters, and say, like, look, you never bring these up. You never bring the behaviour of these, you know, what about when Charlie Kirk was shot? And all the disgusting things that were said then? The Labour Party was not expected to answer for any of those tweets because it didn't come from Keir Starmer's office. This, I think, is just a dirty, manipulative media tactic that needs to be stepped over. And they need to, every time it's brought up, they need to come back with something like this, ready-made. They need to actually have tweets ready to pull up, you know, just in case this comes up again. And the journalist needs to be called out for it. The journalist needs to be like, well, why don't you ask Nigel about this? Why don't you ask Keir Starmer about this? Why don't you ask, you know, whoever, Zach Polanski, about the behavior of his online audience? None of whom we don't even know if they're in the country. We don't know if they're bots. We don't know if they're saboteurs. We don't know who they are. This is the nature of online. So that is, I think, a nonsense point. So let's carry on from this one. Third one, nobody knows who Rupert Lowe is. Now, if you go back in history, there've been quite a few prime ministers who were barely known before they became prime minister. Margaret Thatcher in 1977-78 wasn't that well known. Okay, she wasn't that well known. She got better known over the course of a campaign, and when she became the Tory leader, you know, she had all that Saatchi Brothers PR training and all of that, and she became better known. Okay, David Cameron was basically unknown before he became Tory leader and PM. He came out of nowhere, David Cameron. Nobody knew, like literally nobody knew who. If you go back to Tony Blair versus Michael Howard, not a single person would have known in the public would have known who David Cameron was. Rupert Lowe is more famous than either of those two, okay? Simply by dint of being the chairman of Southampton when I was a kid. I remember him from then, okay? But he also has made waves with this launch video. Over 40 million people watched it. Stories of people, young and old, immediately won over by it. Right? I've seen it up and down my timeline in all the comments and things. People have, that video has gone viral and it's gone everywhere. And this is how people become known in 2026. Right? Or one of the ways in which people can become known. Now, is he as famous as Nigel Farage? No. Nigel Farage has had 30 years of being a frontline politician. But you can very quickly become known. So I don't. And the more people who get to know Rupert over the course of a campaign, the more people will get to know him, and the more they will pick him over Farage every time, because authenticity beats snake oil 10 times out of 10. And we know what Nigel is like. Just this past week, okay, Matt Goodwin, who was a ridiculous Alan Partridge figure. I'm going to make a video about that as well, because Goodwin is ridiculous, okay? But Goodwin is standing in a really crucial by-election in Gorton and Denton, okay? And it's tight. I think it's within one percentage point where the Reform are going to win it or where the Greens are going to win it. What does Nigel do? Does he go full in all behind his man, Goodwin? No, he buggers off to the Chagos Islands for some cheap political stunt. Oh, why aren't they letting me on there? Right, well, it turns out nobody's allowed there. Right, stupid stunt politics doesn't mean anything to anybody. In the same week, older Skeletor, what's her name, the Reform candidate for the Mayor of London, I forget her name now, Layla Cunningham, I call her Skeletor. She attacked Charlie Downs for being a neo-Nazi. And if that was Nigel Farage, you know what he would do. Nigel Farage would have, apologized. He would have cucked. He would have thrown the people responsible out of the party. Rupert said, no, I'm going to sue you. I'm going to come in. How dare you spread vile lies about my team members? He came in and he protected his team members. When have you ever seen Nigel take one for the team, protect his team, help his team in any single way? He doesn't, because he's not a team player. Rupert knows how to manage a team, and he knows how to protect and look after his team. Nigel buggers off to the Chagos Islands and leaves his man to hang. Basically, if Goodwin loses this week, and I hope he does, by the way, because I fucking hate Matt Goodwin, but that's beside the point. If you think from Reform's point of view, Nigel should be there for Matt Goodwin, and he's not there. And when they lose that seat, and I think they are going to lose it, they're going to hang Goodwin out to dry and say, well, it was your fault. Can't blame it on Nigel. Narcissistic, selfish, self-centered, egotistical behavior. And that brings me on to the next point, that Restore Britain is an ego-driven vanity project. No. Everything Nigel Farage, this is the classic leftist projection. It describes to a T Nigel Farage. Everything Nigel has done ever, including this past week, ego-driven vanity project. When this country was falling apart, he was doing those £50 directed, what were they called? Celebrity things. You could pay him money and he'd be like, hey, happy birthday and all of that. That's what Nigel Farage was doing in the middle of Boris Wave. I remember it. Talking about smoky bacon crisps and whole milk and ever such frivolous bullshit when the country's falling apart. Unlike Farage, Lowe empowers his team. He delegates responsibility and acts as a kind of executive chairman, which he can do because, again, unlike Farage, he has vast real-world business experience of running large enterprises and being, for example, chairman of Southampton Football Club. So he can act in that way. He knows how to delegate. Farage has never been able to delegate. He doesn't run meetings. I've heard person after person after person say that Reform doesn't operate as a normal party because Nigel doesn't trust anybody to come in. He's always done the same. He's always done the same. Implodes and then walks away. On to the next one. One man band. He's brought in all these, horrible Tories. Maybe that's Nigel's escape route. Maybe he's like, oh, I don't actually fancy it. I'm gonna swan off and go and sunbathe somewhere. And maybe Robert Jendrick can take this over because I don't fancy it. Maybe. Who knows? But I wouldn't put it past him because the only interest Nigel has got is Nigel. Doesn't give a shit about this country. Rupert, on the other hand, has no reason to do this. He's already wealthy. He could go off into the sunset. He's 68 years old. He has no reason to be doing this other than wishing to save this country. And the fifth point, they, being Restore or whoever the government is, need experienced politicians. This is the shittest talking point of all. I heard Harry and Gladys right? I was watching Harry England Eve, who was one of the chief reform cheerleaders, right, to come out of online circles. Turns out he's applying to be a reform MP. This is the worst argument ever. Being part of the Tory government that brought us 14 years of hurt, is a disqualification, not a qualification. Okay, how can you say that being part of the Boris shit show, or Rishi Sunak's government, or Theresa May's government, in any way qualifies you to do anything? Those governments were disasters. They were a project of nothing but treason and betrayal. It was a government of traitors. If I had my, I can't say on YouTube what I would have done to the people who were responsible, or to Boris Johnson, or to any, or to Jenrick, or any of the people who were part of that government. I don't want to put them back into government. They should be in the Tower of London. Has been systematically mismanaged, such that the janitor from your local school would do a better job than 20 Oxbridge PPE wankers with ministerial experience. We don't need extremely M25 people. We don't need extremely Westminster bubble people. Okay? You say, well, that's extremely online. Actually, no. Normal, what the views of people online is just normal people who've got a computer. That's what online is. Normal people who've got a computer. Your view is Westminster bubble. It's Oxbridge wanker, PPE, Tory boy, think tank wank is what it is. And we're fed up of it. I don't want any. I saw this guy the other day with the most Tory boy face in the entire world. His name was Sebastian Payne. Right? I'm gonna pull this picture up now because I have to show you it in real time. And I am fed up of these people. I'm fed up of being told what to do by people who have literally the worst record in the entire world. If it was any other walk of life, if it was a janitor, right? If you had a janitor of a school that instead of cleaning the floor every night, just left a giant mess, just left mess everywhere, that person would be fired and they wouldn't get to be a janitor anymore because the school would say, can't clean the floor. Okay? That is the basic status of anybody who's been involved in frontline Tory politics for the past decade. You're a janitor who can't clean the fucking floor. Sorry, I'm getting a bit carried away here, folks, because these people really irritate me. They really, really irritate me. I want to show you this Tory boy. Hold on. I want to show you what these people look like, so you can recognize the type, right? I want you to recognize the type, because I'm sick of being told what's what by people like this. Sebastian, look at his Tory boy face. If Harry Enfield came out looking like that, you'd be like, yeah, that's a ridiculous cat. Nobody's like that. Look at him. Fucking hell. Let's carry on. Lowe has talked about getting in people from a wide variety of backgrounds with real world experience, with industry experience, with experience of knowing how the world works, instead of university, like professional politicians. That's what these people are. Look at a creature like Ed Miliband, okay? Ed Miliband has never run anything in his life. He's never had a real job. His job is professional politician. In a just world, he'd be disqualified from ever running anything. I wouldn't let Ed Miliband run the local chip shop. We want to clear them out. We want to clear them out, not join them. Okay? We don't want to join them. We don't want to be part of the big gay club that Sebastian Payne likes to drink at. We want to save the country. it'd be nice to have a government that just does this, some of the small things. I've said hundreds of times, just fix the bloody potholes. I had a dream of fixing the potholes. Instead, half the rich and powerful people, you know, in Britain and America are part of this vast paedophile ring involved with this guy called Jeffrey Epstein. And here they are doing weird rituals. I don't want to, like, ideally, they'd be fixing the potholes. We're so far away from having a sensible and centered government. Rupert is the only person around who's even close to doing what needs to be done. So anyway, here were some arguments against Reform UK. Sorry, I got a little bit heated in the moment. I need to take the trivium. I need to retake foundations of rhetoric and learn how to stay calm. Stay calm. But they annoy me. I hate these people. I hate the establishment that brought us to this point, brought this country to its knees when it didn't need to. They just didn't need to do any of the things they've done. Why did the Boris wave happen? Have we ever had a proper explanation for that? If Rupert ever actually does become the Prime Minister, I want to see fucking Nuremberg trials for Boris Johnson's government. Rather than putting Robert Jenrick back in government under Reform, I want him on trial. I want him answering questions for what the hell went on there. Anyway. Pick up a course at the academic agency, and I'll see you next time. Bye, everyone. Go on, get out.
If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the academic agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.